lately, but knock on wood. So, the English say touch wood. Everyone knows that? Yeah. Say touch wood. But I decided I haven't done 2 Corinthians in as a sermon in a long time. And I'm not going to go through every chapter, but I'm going to look for things I think will be beneficial to us. But chapter 1, at the very beginning, what Paul does is he gives us this great word about encouragement, consolation, comfort, however you want to translate. And I'll look at that with you in a minute. But what is the source of our comfort and encouragement in Christ? Paul was in Corinth longer probably than any other city that he went to. So as he talks to them, he again planted the church in Corinth. He is the apostle to the church in Corinth. And he is trying to help them understand, how to walk with God and what to listen to and what not to listen to, right? So in his first statements here, he basically is trying to offer comfort to the church, but he also in that kind of helps us to see where we find this comfort. And again, there's so many different ways we could translate the words that are used. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul is speaking as the leader, as the apostle to the church. He is called to that by the will of God. We were talking in our class. Mylene asked a question about Paul and his previous life as Saul and the persecution of the church that he did. And basically, Paul was pulled out of an old life, a life that persecuted the church, was glad to see Stephen killed. And God, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and changed his life, his destiny, his call. So now his heart and his life is engaged with helping the church be the church and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see that in every one of his writings. And again, as I said this time, he starts off by explaining to the church at Corinth where they would find this comfort that comes first from God. Praise be to God and Father, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And this word, paraklesios, it's, if you remember when we talk about the Holy Spirit, paraklete, and we talked about that when we were in John 15, so that, there's not one word that really captures the entire measure of what that's talking about. But he talks about the Father. He says, first of all, the Father is a Father of compassion. When God gave his name to Moses, the first half of it is about for his people. The second half is for those who are not being his people. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives inequity, transgression, and sin. We depend so much upon our Father who is compassionate towards us. If he were a judgy guy, in other words, just looking for some flaw in you, it would be pretty easy for him to find those flaws, wouldn't it? But he is not a God who is trying to seek out and expose and call us to constant judgment. He's a God of compassion. He looks at us in mercy. He looks at us in forgiveness. He looks at us in grace. And sometimes we got to remember that because we don't always look at ourselves that way. And we need to understand the grace and compassion of God and how dependent we are on him, right? So he says he's a Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And this word comfort, paraklesios, is consolation, to offer reassuring, calming help, encouragement. It's used of each person of the Trinity. That's what you know. So here in this text, he says he is the God of all comfort, of all reassurance, of all encouragement. That word is used as, you know, it's translated sometimes as helper. Sometimes it's translated as the one who gives counsel, right? Sometimes it's translated as advocate, someone who speaks on our behalf. But it's this idea of God caring about who we are, where we are, and helping us. The first source of all comfort and all encouragement is in God, God the Father, God the Father. But also it is God the Son. He says in 1 John, he talks about Jesus. He says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you might not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Same word, paraklesis, right? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? So again, we have that attached to the idea of who Jesus is. Jesus stands as our mediator. He stands and he talks to the Lord about us. And we're to be encouraged by the idea that he is on our side. In Romans 8, Paul talks about, you know, if God is for you and Christ is for you, who is it that can bring accusation against you, right? And then the Holy Spirit. Jesus was talking to his disciples. We did this, you know, a month or so ago. He says, when the helper, in the same word, but translated helper, when the helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. And then he talks quite lengthy about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is an encourager. The Holy Spirit is one who fills our heart with the idea that God is loving us, that God is caring for us, that God will not let us stumble too far or fall away from him, right? So our first source of encouragement and comfort is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now Paul speaks and he says, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The thing is, as God pours out his grace and his encouragement and his comfort into our hearts, that's something that becomes a part of us, just like it's a part of him. It's a part of him to be comforting, to be encouraging, to be the one that is, you know, gracious, reaching down to pick us up and to hold us and keep us, right? And so as God interacts with his people, he does the same thing. He puts that encouragement, that comfort in us. And as Paul says here, we'll see this more, but that we then become an encouragement, a comfort for others. I was having dinner the other night with Barb's family and a large group of people, and got into a good conversation with her sister-in-law, and she was very concerned about her dad, because her dad is ill, he's older, and he's an atheist. He doesn't believe, or he's agnostic. He believes in a God, but not Jesus, and not, you know, just kind of this nebulous idea. And we had quite a talk about the idea of, you know, how to speak to someone like that, and as a child to ask, you know, your parent to really think differently about who Jesus is and how important it is for us who know Jesus to share that with, you know, our family in the hope that they too, even if it's just for our sake, would call upon the name of the Lord. But it was quite an encouraging conversation that we had. It was kind of nice for me to speak to her for, you know, an hour or so about real spiritual deep things. But that's because the grace of God, the comfort of God, the encouragement of God is in us, and then we can share that, right? And that's what Paul is talking about. And then he talks about the sufferings of Christ, which overflow into our lives. In other words, we talk about the death of Jesus Christ, and we should. We should remember that apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, we can't stand. Apart from the grace and forgiveness that comes from him, that we are dead. We have no life in us. We have no place with God. But because Jesus gave himself for us, we have a relationship with the Father. But he also says then, and so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. Romans again puts this in a way of saying, you know, Jesus died for us so that we might, you know, be forgiven, that we might have this new stance with God, that we would have peace with God. But he also lives for us so that we can have the grace and comfort of God on a continuous basis. I love this word, overflowing. It's the idea of what's coming out of Jesus, what's coming out of the Father, what's coming out of the Holy Spirit. But it's this encouragement and comfort to stay the course, to walk with God. As we go through life and we go through troubles, don't we? I mean, aren't there things that trouble our hearts, trouble our minds, trouble our lives? And you know, I often think, what is a person that doesn't know God? Where do they find their comfort? And unfortunately, they find it in a lot of bad things. You know, people turn to sex, they turn to drugs, they turn to all kinds of things to try to gain comfort in their troubled lives. We have the one true source of comfort. We have the one true source of encouragement, and that's in the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and it flows from them as a continual river, a stream of grace and encouragement into our lives, and then into others as well. So the first place, the first source, the primary source of our encouragement and comfort comes from the Father. Comfort is a contagious thing, right? In our fellowship, we already kind of touched on that. It says, if we're distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort. The same idea of the graces of God flowing into Paul's life, even under periods of stress. And this is the thing, right? Life can stress us out. Life can stress us out. Life can get so hard, so intense. You know, I've been at places where I could barely breathe because of the intensity of pressure and pain that you go through sometimes in life. But also in those times, there's this place of grace. There's this place of seeking God and calling on the name of God and God restoring our soul, God reinvigorating our spirit, God bringing us into that place of comfort and encouragement in Him. The world struggles. The world is at war. The world is in trouble. But we in Christ have a peace that the world can never have and understand. And so he talks about his life, and we know that he was in many times, you know, stress and struggle, and we'll talk about that in the next thing. But the idea that whatever he was going through, as God was pouring his spirit into Paul, his grace into Paul, the comforts and encouragement into Paul, Paul was also seeing that as a way to share with others. I hope that you've experienced that. I hope you understand the idea of, you know, how many ways we can help one another through life, through the struggles. One way is, you know, by the graces and the things that God's given us, right? He's given us the Word of God. And sometimes by preaching and teaching the Word of God, you know, we're sharing the encouragement that comes from God for us to help us to stay the course, to help us to hold on, right? Sometimes in conversations, just, you know, sitting at table with somebody and talking and bringing up our relationships with Christ and our understanding of a particular text or something like that, we again bring out encouragement for one another because of the grace of God working in our lives and spreading to someone else. Sometimes it's the gospel. Sometimes you're sitting with someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you speak to them and the light of the Spirit opens your heart and mind to speak the truth, that truth can open a heart, open a mind to understand the encouragement and grace that comes from Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's in, you know, our singing together. As we praise God and worship God together and are calling upon the name of the Lord together, there sometimes is that grace and that comfort, that encouragement that comes. Like I say, I always feel better leaving church than I do when I came in, you know, just because, you know, another place, and we'll see this more later, is prayers. Just praying for one another or being prayed for. There's a grace and encouragement that can come from that, right? Yeah. So the comfort comes from everybody who possesses some kind of experience with God, experience in walking through life. The better we are as being experienced with God in life, the better we're going to be in being able to encourage somebody else. Paul says this. He says, you know, look, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia, as we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. And we know he's talking about probably Ephesus, where the whole city erupted, and they wanted to bring Paul out. They wanted to stone him, and people were afraid. You know, he wanted to talk to the crowd. They said, don't do it, you know. And then later he went to Philippi, where he was put in jail. Then he went to Thessalonica, and people chased him out of Thessalonica to Berea. And then he went from Berea to Athens, and then finally he landed in Corinth. But his entire journey was being dogged by people who were out to get him and to cause him harm. And he says, it at times felt like there was a sentence of death hanging over him. Now you can imagine, and some of us, you know, maybe have known some of this, where the pressure of life and the fear that can come up. And what does that do for us but drive us to God, right? It drives us to the Lord. We begin to call upon the Lord all the more earnestly. Sometimes we can get lackadaisical in our prayers. But when life heats up, when things get rough, we will find ourselves on our knee, on our face, calling upon the living God, because we know that's where our help is. We know that's where our strength, our comfort, and the grace of God is. And that's what Paul experienced as he was facing all these battles. He, you know, gave us that great line in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, authorities in dark places, right? Those instruments of evil in this world. So we're wrestling against that, fighting against that. And if you're fighting that battle, you're gonna fight it with prayer. You're gonna fight it by turning to God. But what happens is then God brings that strength. So he says, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I mean, that's in other words, what it did, it heightened his understanding, his grace in relation to life and death. I rely on God. I'm not trying to do it myself. I'm not trying to just figure it out, but I'm relying on God. And the worst they can do to me, God has the answer. He'll raise me from the dead, right? And so he had that. And then he said, he has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. One of the things that happens with experience is that as you walk with God and you've been through some battles and you've tasted war in the spiritual realm, and you understand these things, and then you see how God carries you through it. You see how God possesses a power and a strength to overcome all of those forces and all of that wickedness, and he gives us the grace even to overcome our own sin and our own mistakes, right? We begin to understand, he delivered me once, he'll deliver me again. If the grace of God and the comfort of God worked over here in that battle and in the next battle and in the next battle, it'll work in the future battle. It will be there for us. And that's what Paul did. So as he experienced God's grace, as he experiences God's, you know, bringing him through struggles and bringing comfort to him, he grows in his ability to be a comfort to others. He says, on him we have set our hope, and he will continue to deliver us. He will continue to bring us through, right? The suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. And hope doesn't disappoint, because God has put the Holy Spirit in our heart, shed abroad his love in us, right? That's from Romans 5, yeah. So we grow with experience, to be able to console, to comfort, to encourage other people by that. The other place or source of God's comfort is prayer. And Paul, he doesn't really mention it in this, but it's the context. It says, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. We pray for people. That is part of what a church does. When we call people or ask people if they want, you know, someone to pray with them, there's a grace sometimes that comes through that prayer. There's a comfort that comes through that prayer. There's a strength sometimes. Sometimes I've seen it actually change lives, right? The church is a praying community. And Paul is thanking God for a church that's, you know, hundreds of miles, maybe 1,000 miles away from him at times, but they're praying for him. Have you known that? Have you ever known that, you know, I got a letter from a lady one time. She was, way out in the suburbs, farm, and she didn't have, you know, money. And she said, I really love your ministry. I love what you guys are doing down there. She says, and I don't really have any money, but I pray for you every day. I mean, just the idea that someone was praying for us every day. There's power in that. There really is. There's power in that. And we should use that power. And again, what does it do? It brings about encouragement. Sometimes you don't even know the source of God's grace working in your life is because somewhere, someone is asking God to have mercy on you or asking God to lift you up or asking God to protect you. And Paul was thanking the church for praying for him because he knew that grace, that power that came from their prayers that encouraged him. Sometimes it's people right next to you putting their hands on you and praying for you. And sometimes it can be miles and miles away. The faith of the centurion who said, you don't have to come to my house, Jesus. You can right here say the word and it'll be done over there. We got to believe in that prayer and in that power of prayer to bring about comfort, strength, encouragement, consolation, affirmation. So here in this first little, 11 verses, we find that he gives us four different places where we find God's compassion and comfort, his encouragement, his affirmation. First is from the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That is the primary source because that is part of who they are. I mean, the Holy Spirit is literally called the Paraclete, literally called the Comforter. And the Father possesses that same quality as does the Son. They're all that Paracletos, right? They all have that. And God is the primary source of it. Our encouragement is also contagious. This is why, I think it's so important for people. The reason why God brings us together, right? It's not, isolated Christianity is not God's plan. Never was God's plan. When the church was born, it wasn't born scattered. It was born in a place. It was born in a community. Now, eventually, that community spread and grew, but it always was about ecclesia, the church. That's the word in Greek for the church. It means gathering, the church gathering. And we share in that fellowship. Fellowship means to have in common. We have the same heart, same spirit, same power working inside of us that can give comfort, encouragement, that can help us to grow in our grace. And sometimes just to keep going, just to keep walking with God, just to not give up. We gain the ability to assure and comfort one another as we experience difficulties. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, different trials. It sounds silly, but he says it's for the trying, the proving of your faith. When we learn to go through challenges, we can go through dry spells, we can go through sicknesses, we can go through people accusing us of things or whatever. There's, all kinds of different battles that we might go through. But getting through them, we find a greater grace, a greater strength. And we're able to be a better help to others going through the same thing. And then prayer. Prayer is a very good source of comfort and grace, right? Whether people are right with you, we pray for Chemezia. We pray for Catherine. We pray for people that are thousands of miles away, right? And I believe God hears those prayers. And I believe God protects people. Our brother Chemezi is in the most dangerous country in the world to be a Christian. I love talking to him, and I pray for him. And he asks me, every time he talks to me, he says, remind the church to pray for me, right? So, pray for him. But we pray for one another, and we pray as a community to worship and ask God to give us encouragement and strength and comfort where we need it. In the name of Jesus. Really nice to know that we have this assuring, reassuring, calming help, consoling, comforting, helping, encouraging. That's what God does. And he does it in part as the main source, but also through us as we live and grow in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship the Lord one more time.
let's do What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Matt, if you can find that on the list.
Trust in you more and more through each trial, and that we would also be so willing and eager to help others with things that are bothering them. So we pray, Father, that you would help us to be prayerful and to look to you for all of our help and strength each day. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen.